Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The focus of my message today is going to be our gospel text, Matthew chapter 25. This is a parable we only see once every 3 years. When I see a challenging text, I like to go after it. So we're going to talk about it today, parable of the 10 virgins. Dear friends, what a privilege it is to be with you here this morning. But as I'm thinking about these last three Sundays of the church year, they're designated that, by the way, I've found that we oftentimes skip over them and we don't notice their significance. This year, the last three Sundays are on November 12th today, November 19th, and November 26th. We have other things on our minds. We don't think about these last three Sundays all that often as significant. Maybe turkey is on your brain. Thinking about what you got going on next week. Or maybe a little more happier time in the church year, Advent and Christmas, that's right around the corner, and the exciting hymns and songs that we're about ready to sing in December. What a wonderful time that is ahead of us in the next month. But what I'd like to suggest this morning is that the last three Sundays of the church year tell us more than perhaps any other Sunday what the Christian life is like. The readings, the prayers, the messages that you will hear talk about what a day in the life a Christian should be all about, the purpose of being a Christian. And if I had to boil down what the themes are of these three Sundays, now that you've heard this, you don't have to listen to the sermons the next couple of weeks. Man, I figured it all out. But now that I've looked at the next three Sundays, I'd boil them down to this motto. Remember this today. You're going to hear it in my message. Live your life as if Jesus Christ was crucified yesterday, rose today, and is coming tomorrow. That's the way we should live our life. What a mouthful that is. Live your life as if Jesus was crucified yesterday, rose today from the tomb, and is coming tomorrow. 3 days, that's a lot of things to think about. And if we're honest about ourselves, we don't live by that motto. First of all, we don't think about Jesus dying just yesterday. We think about the crucifixion of Jesus happening 2,000 years ago, like an event like the Berlin Wall 30 years ago or a significant event that happened thousands of years ago. And no doubt it was a historical event, but we think about it way off in the past. And we might get a tear in our eyes on Good Friday when we see that Jesus has died for us in our sins. But to be honest, we think about it as an event that happened way, way long ago, off in the distant past. Secondly, we don't live oftentimes as if Christ rose in the morning of the day that we're living in. Kind of sounds like an odd thought, but isn't that what we do on Easter Sunday? We come to church and we sing this hymn, Jesus Christ has risen today. We think about the empty tomb and all the things that Jesus has done on Easter, but so often on the 364 days of the year, we think of what happened on Easter, Jesus rising, as something that happened way, way, a way, way long time ago, 2,000 years ago, not very current to our daily life. Thirdly, do we really think that Jesus is coming tomorrow? Honestly, do we really? Well, he didn't come last week. He didn't come a month ago. He didn't come a year ago. The chances of him coming tomorrow aren't very high. That's a hard motto to live by. Living as if Jesus died yesterday, he rose today, and he's coming tomorrow. But what a difference it would make in our lives if we lived that way, the passion that we'd have for him. Well, let's unpack that just a little bit more. Have you had a time in which you were a day after, you were living a day after someone in your family died? How did that feel? Did the pain set in from their death a day after? The day of is shocking, of course, but it's that day after that the pain sets in and the reality is there and the grief is very fresh. I remember when my grandfather passed away. The day that it happened, there was shock, but it was the next morning that I woke up. There was a pain inside. I couldn't call him up and talk about the day's events. I couldn't get in my car and drive down to Grandma and Grandpa's house in Spokane and talk a little bit more. I couldn't go down and play Chinese checkers with him like we always had, or talk baseball, which we love to do. See, the day after someone dies, there's a pain inside of us because they're gone. That's the way Paul talks about Jesus' death. It's as if it happened just yesterday in his life. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul puts it this way: here is a trustworthy saying worth everyone's acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world for sinners, of which I am the foremost. The NIV says, I am the worst. You see how fresh the grief is for Paul. A part of the Christian walk is actually thinking, it didn't happen 2,000 years ago, but Jesus just died yesterday for me and my sins. Well, how about that next part? Can you remember living in a day in which you experienced amazing joy and exuberance with good news? It was just, I guess it was a couple years ago that I saw joy and exuberance in an amazing way. It was when the Cubs won the World Series. Very painful, though, for me, being a Cardinals fan. The Cubs won the World Series, and the joy was there on Waverly Avenue outside Wrigley Field. The streets were filled. You might remember the joy that was in Chicago, but it hung over for even longer through the winter and through spring training. And then when opening day came in Chicago, the rains came pouring down, and the people were so excited about the World Series victory and the celebration that was going to happen on opening day that they sat through 2 hours of rain and watched the game, the recorded game on the big screen, and no one left the stadium. They were so excited for the opening pitch and the celebration. That's what you do when you hear good news. It's fresh. It's like it just happened that day. That's the way Paul and Christians understand the risen Jesus. It's as if it happened that very morning. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. It's as if Paul's saying it's fresh. It just happened this morning. A part of the Christian life, secondly, remember my friends, is thinking that Jesus Christ rose the very morning that we're living in. Finally, can you remember a time in which you had joy and anticipation for a really exciting event that was coming tomorrow, the next day? Think about something where you couldn't even sleep because it was coming the next day. You're so filled with anticipation. In our household, we have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. You can imagine how that goes. And we have routines that we go through at night. And it's always the same: pajamas, books, prayers, brush your teeth. And though that routine should take only 20 minutes, but it oftentimes takes 40 or 50 minutes, and it is a knockdown, drag-out time. But what I've noticed with my two girls is this: if they know something is coming the next day that is very special, and here it was for my oldest one this year, going to school for the first day of school, that routine happens not in 20 minutes, but in 10 minutes. And sure enough, my daughter was done and out in bed by 7:30 and up the next morning at 6 a.m. dressed. And she said, are we ready for school? I had to tell her this year, hold on, school doesn't start for another 2 hours. That's how excited she was. That, my friends, is the joy and anticipation that Christians have for Jesus coming the next day. There it was in our epistle text from Thessalonians. Did you hear those words? How exciting it will be, Paul says. We who are here will join those who are in the clouds, and we will meet the Lord in the air. And Paul goes on to say, encourage one another with those words. Joy, excitement for Jesus coming again. Live your lives. Here's the theme. Live your lives as if Jesus died yesterday, rose today, and is coming tomorrow. Out in the cathedral in Erfurt, Germany, this was a place that Martin Luther went to often. As he entered into the cathedral, and maybe some of you have seen this, there is a depiction of the 10 virgins. On one side of the cathedral are the foolish virgins. They're depicted down on the ground in agony and in pain. They're not liking life very much. And on the other side of the entrance of the cathedral in Erfurt is a depiction of the wise virgins. They're calm, standing, and at ease, no problem at all. And as you walk into that cathedral, it's as if a question is being asked of you. Are you one of the wise virgins, or are you one of the foolish virgins? Well, what's the difference between wise and the foolish ones? In the parable of the text, it tells us that the wise ones had oil. But friends, it's much deeper than that. It's not that they just have oil. It's that they love the bridegroom that is coming. They know that he's been good in the past, that he's going to be excellent during the wedding, and that this bridegroom is going to be great for his bride forever and all eternity. That's why they have the oil. They're excited for the bridegroom who is coming. The wise virgins, you see, lived by our motto. They lived as if the bridegroom, Jesus, had died yesterday, rose today, and was coming tomorrow. So can we, friends. We live our lives. Here's the application. We live our lives not with oil in our hands. That's not the point here. We live our lives remembering that we have received the mark of Jesus on our foreheads and that we have been baptized. What that means is, yesterday we were full of sin and selfish thoughts, but because of what Jesus has done, our bridegroom, our sins have been paid for and we're free. Today we have received the mark on our foreheads. We're new creatures. We're new people for God to live for others. And because of what Jesus has done in the work of our baptism, we can live in new ways for others. Tomorrow looks so much better too, because that mark on our foreheads will remain for all eternity. We have so much to look forward to. We are like the 10, like the 5 wise virgins. We have a bridegroom, Jesus, that will bless us when he comes to visit us. Thinking about Jesus coming again causes all sorts of fear in many people. In fact, whole religions, Christian sects are brought up to teach their people, live in fear and panic over Jesus coming. But we see in this text that the Bible teaches the exact opposite. The 5 virgins are calm and at ease. In fact, they even fall asleep. They are so secure and certain of the bridegroom that is coming and his goodness and mercy that is on the way. So do we in this time. We are at calm and at ease in our baptism. We live and we sleep soundly. For when Jesus comes, that time, perhaps tomorrow, perhaps it is tomorrow, we look forward to it relaxed, like those 5 virgins on the cathedral in Erfurt, relaxed and calm because the bridegroom will be with us forever. Amen.